Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Oh, this music matches the overcast, damp nature of today. And the question, Chris Hahn on the left, and yours truly, Curtis Sliwa on the right. Once again, rejoining all of you. We assess the return of New York City back to the vibrancy it had before the lockdown and pandemic of March 2020, based on your ability to find a free parking spot on Sunday.
I am looking out the window right now at my car, which is the same color as your uniform. I could see it right there over your shoulder,
red.
Mr. Sliwa.
Red.
And I had accidentally parked in diplomatic parking, which I don't understand why there's diplomatic parking on 3rd Avenue. I don't know where there's a diplomatic center here. But I had accidentally parked in a diplomatic spot, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to put it in a garage. So I started circling around and found one right in front of the building.
Let me ask you, you're such a hardcore progressive. You identify, you're all in blue today. Why would you have a red car, which is synonymous with being a Trumper?
Well, no, a red hat is synonymous with being a Trumper.
Yeah, but red. The color red with Republicans.
I don't know.
The
I saw this car on the lot, and you know, it 3 years ago, and I'm like, wow, that's a good looking car.
I'll give you an
example. And then I looked closer. Hold on, I looked closer at it, and it said hybrid, and it was not only a hybrid, it was eligible for the New York State Clean Pass, which means I could drive it in the HOV lanes by myself, which at the time mattered because I was going back and forth to Manhattan and back and forth to other parts of Long Island.
Having a mannequin or a sex doll.
I didn't have to put like a hat and like glasses on my seat cover to be in the HOV lane, or just, you know, chalk it up as this is the cost of doing business and pay like $500 of fines a year. But I like, wow, this is a great deal. And it's a beautiful car. It's a luxury car. It's a full-size, you know, sedan, and I love it.
But everything nowadays you're identified with by color. So, in fact, if you had been leaving the Oscars with your trendoid friends, your Democratic Socialists of America.
I didn't get my invite to the Oscars. Maybe it got lost in the mail.
And you were riding a red car through the streets of South Central, Compton, Watts.
Right.
All of a sudden, the Bloods would be throwing blood signs at you, and the Crips would be popping lead shots
at you.
So,
if I'm in my red car wearing a blue hat, does that mean I've got both sides
covered? No, it means you're confused.
Am I like a CNN panel? Both sides are being addressed?
You're going to be shot by both sides.
I hear you.
You're
going to
get lead poisoning. But speaking of the Oscars, we can't get away from the slap. And you're into the Oscar thing.
I wasn't planning on watching any of it.
What?
I told you this last week. We talked about it. And I actually said to you last week, the last time I watched the Oscars was when Chris Rock was the host, because he's a funny comedian. I actually happen to be a fan of Amy Schumer. I didn't realize she was hosting this year, and if I would have known that, I might have watched more.
Well, it was like a trifecta, right?
Yeah.
She was one of two other hosts.
But she was the best of the
bunch.
She's fantastic. So Wanda Sykes is usually pretty funny, too. I didn't catch any of her stuff.
Let me ask you a question. Did you mention Amy Schumer because of her relationship to your former boss, Chuck Schumer?
She is a cousin to my former boss, Chuck Schumer, yeah. But no, I mentioned her because she's a Rockville Center, Long Island native.
Oh.
So
did she go to St. Agnes?
I have no idea where she went.
I don't think so.
I don't know where she went. But, you know, us Long Islanders like to stick together.
Of course.
There's very
totally
few
understand.
Of us that are famous. You know, I mean, she's much more famous than me, but I, you know.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I'm in the top 100.
You're kidding.
I'm in the top 100.
Is there a list of the top 100 folks from Nassau and Suffolk County and all of Long Island?
I don't know, but if there is, I'm sure I'm in the top 100.
All right, so let's just briefly run
150.
Through it. We got Bill O'Reilly right from Levittown. He can chase his route.
No, wait. He's from the old Westbury section of Levittown. Let's just be clear where he's really from.
The Rock Ribbed All-American Conservative Voice of Reason from Franklin Square, Long Island, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, right?
Howard Stern. By the way, you just mentioned two people who are less famous than Howard Stern. So let's start. Let's, you know, my list. My number one would be Howard Stern.
Understood.
Number two would be Jerry Seinfeld. Number three.
That's a hell of a lot of famous
number
people.
Number three would be Billy Joel, right? And, you know, it keeps going. You know, the top 20 are household names. But you get down into the 90s, you're getting to guys like me.
You look at per capita.
Right.
Per person. Between you add up the populations in Nassau, which has slightly more population than Suffolk County.
Right.
That's a hell of a lot of famous people in a relatively small populated area compared to major cities like New York City, Los Angeles, Chi-Town. You know, we're talking about Kanye West coming up, Chi-Town, right? L.A., all the freakazoids.
Right.
All the jet setters, New York City, you know.
Well, the people aren't from L.A. They go to L.A.
Oh,
people are from Long Island, and they're like, oh, wow, New York City is right there. Let me hop on the train, get to New York City,
and
become famous.
So you think you would be in the top 100, Chris, huh?
Maybe top 150.
You're stretching.
I'm in the top 10 of SUNY Albany, but I'm in the top probably 100 from Long Island. Maybe number one or two from my high school in Center Ridge.
Well, let's talk about this slap because you didn't really have a chance to sort of really extrapolate all of these theories and philosophies and concepts. I was listening to two professors, one from Hunter, one from Duke, who were talking about this is just symbolic of the 400 years of oppression against righteous Euro-Asiatic black men.
Wait a minute. This was two African-American men that were involved.
I know, but this was PBS, the way they resolved this.
Were they talking like this,
yes,
Curtis?
Yes.
Curtis, I just want to let you – why don't we spend – the rest of this segment talking like we're on NPR.
And, by the way, Curtis, using multisyllabic words, words that I could not even find in my little Webster's dictionary. So I have no idea what the hell they were talking about.
You didn't try to look it up on your phone?
No.
Because you couldn't spell it.
No, I'm a Luddite.
You got two phones right there.
Are those
both your phones or is one of those Nancy's?
No. One is my phone. One is the normal Curtis Sliwa phone in which I am totally not adept at it.
Right.
And one you would say, wow, this drug dealers have multiple phones. No, this was my campaign phone.
Got it.
And somehow it got entwined with all the information from my normal phone. So now I have to carry both around like I'm a camel with two
phones. Why don't you just have it synced so that there's just one phone?
I tried that. Didn't work. I wanted to be a dromedary. I wanted one hump as a camel, not the two humps.
You are married to a millennial.
Yes.
Surely she could figure this
out. She did it. And then I messed it up.
Well, why don't you give it back to her and let her fix it
for you? She's tired. She's had it. It's over. Yeah, she ain't dealing with it any longer. She says, look, if you want people to think you're a drug dealer because you have all these cell phones, go ahead, knock yourself out.
I thought one of them was like the Guardian Angels hotline, the bat phone, if you will.
No. One was a campaign phone for mayor, which I lost, and one was just the regular normal
Curtis Sliwa phone. So is the campaign for mayor still paying for that? Are you running up campaign debt?
No, because it's been merged into the bill. But I still have two phones, so try to figure that out.
This is just horrible.
But look,
this is why you work so many hours here at WABC.
Let me tell you something. Don't knock yourself out on this. This is just my life. I'm a Luddite. But let's talk about that slap again, because it won't go away.
No, it won't.
Even, of all people, Ric Flair weighed in on it. And Ric Flair, who actually one of the few men ever to wrestle behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea for the evil seat of Kim Jong mentally ill, Ric Flair said, oh, it was all a setup. Come on, we do that all the time.
I don't think so,
man. Yes, Ric Flair. How could you demean Ric Flair?
I saw the look on Chris Rock's face. I watched it. I was flipping through. I was like, let me flip over to the Oscars. And when I flip over to the Oscars, it says, coming up next, presenting award for best documentary, Chris Rock. And, you know, I'm a fan. I stayed with it. I'm like, let me stay with it. And I stayed with it. And then I had to watch for another hour because he gets smacked by Will Smith. And I'm like, well, Will Smith's going to win. I said to you last week, the only one I saw was Will Smith.
Yeah, you did.
And he did a great job in that movie. Yeah. And he won. For it.
King Richard, right?
I wanted to watch his speech now because, geez, he was acting crazy like a maniac.
No, Jeezy was not there.
No.
Neither was Weezy.
He just goes by Yee now.
I got vertigo when it comes to that. We're
going
to be talking about him coming up. We're
going to
be talking about him coming up.
So, look. First of all, I believe comedians need to be given a wide berth. I'm not one of those people who cancel comedians for things they say. I'm still a fan of Dave Chappelle. A lot of my progressive friends are upset about that, but
I'm kidding. They won't watch a performance by Dave Chappelle.
They thought that his last performance was too.
Did they ever see the great performances of George Carlin?
I'm a huge fan of George Carlin.
As is my wife, Nancy.
I grew up on George Carlin, and I actually saw him live before he died here in the city. But I believe comedians need to be given a wide berth. I didn't think the joke he said to Jada was that particularly offensive. He basically was comparing her to Demi Moore, who's one of the most beautiful women who ever lived.
And then what happened just within a day's cycle, Demi Moore announced that her former husband, Bruce Willis, had to retire from show business because
he's got dementia.
Yeah, he's beginning to slip. He's beginning to slip. And notice the conspiratorial wave, Demi Moore, out of nowhere, G.I. Jane, she was mentioned, and Bruce Willis. Right? Think about that. Then
is this InfoWars?
Well,
InfoWars.com. Curtis Lewa filling in for
Jim Carrey weighed in on it and really lambasted Chris Rock on CBS in the morning.
He lambasted Will Smith. Jim Carrey said that was ridiculous.
Oh, you're right.
He lambasted Hollywood for standing up and cheering him.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Which, by the way,
right.
I agreed 100% with Jim Carrey.
But what happened then? He retired the next day from show business. You get to drift here?
Who, Jim Carrey?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Oh, I did not see that.
He retired.
I find that hard to believe.
And then, by the way, you want to get deeper into conspiracy? Who was the overall show advertiser and promoter for the Oscars? Obviously, they had multiple advertising products. Pfizer.
My conspiracy theories.
Big
InfoWars.com.
And what is it that Pfizer had to acknowledge 48 hours after the slap seen around the world that they just got the FDA approved for a drug that helps women with what?
Alopecia?
Yes!
Now, as opposed to Propecia, which you and I should both be using.
Yes.
Is that still Pfizer?
Yes. By the way, who is going to become the spokesperson for that new product now, huh?
Jada Pinkett Smith for Propecia.
Never trust anybody with three names, and especially with three names with two first names in the three names.
Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Never,
Jada?
Never.
Jada Pinkett? Pinkett's not a first name.
No. I'm just saying, normally, that's my litmus test for people.
John Wayne Gacy, things like that. Yeah, I gotcha.
Man, if they got two first names, that's evil. That's really evil.
That's not good.
But I guarantee you, I'm looking into the crystal ball right now. Jada Pinkett Smith will become the spokesperson for Pfizer, the new drug that deals with her hair loss
problem.
Will
Smith is losing projects over this, so I doubt he was in on some conspiracy.
Yeah, wait.
He lost his Netflix deal.
Hold your horses. The guy's sitting on a ton of dough.
Of course.
You know in the future, he's not going to be Mel Gibson.
He's got to do a real apology to Chris face-to-face.
It'll happen. But in the meantime, what has he finally achieved that he never had before? The bad boy of Hollywood. He was always thought of as soft, a goody-two-shoes, a bubblegum rapper.
I gotta tell you gotta go watch that movie, King Rich. I feel bad saying go watch a Will Smith movie right now, but you gotta go watch it. He's damn good in it, and he plays a bad boy in it, somewhat.
Yeah, but please, let's face it, no matter how many times Will Smith has performed on the big screen, and he does a good job.
Fantastic. I mean, I've always loved him.
He has never been able to pull off the fact of being a bad guy.
Why would he have to do that? He's Will Smith.
For example, Tarantino's movies, right? Remember, he used Travolta, right?
He did. Travolta's career was over until those movies came out.
Yeah, but didn't he come across as a totally despicable bad boy, Travolta, in those movies?
I wouldn't say that. Actually, he was a lovable bad guy in Pulp Fiction.
A bad guy.
Well, he was like a guy like, this is my job. I'm a murderer. Right? I'm a hitman.
And let me extrapolate.
But he was like a good guy.
Yeah, sure.
It was a very strange character that he played
in that
movie.
And then he played in maybe the worst movie of all time, the number one Razzie Award winner, the Gotti movie. Oh, my God.
I didn't see that.
That was almost as bad as when he did.
Did they mention you in the movie?
No, but almost as bad as they did. He did that special movie for his hero, L. Ron Hubbard. What was that? Lost in Space? What was that terrible movie?
No, it was some movie where they came to Earth and they were like aliens here.
The absolute worst movie of all time.
It was bad. I remember it.
Notice, let me go full circle here.
Right.
So here's Will Smith sitting, and everybody's coming up to him, Denzel, everyone else trying to calm him down. And then he's announced, And winner of the male award for acting, Will Smith, he comes running up. Who's holding his Oscar?
Yeah.
John Travolta,
but, you know,
who then whispers in his ear because he's a Scientologist. Scientologist to Scientologist. Oh, you are negating all this.
We have to talk more about this on the other side of the break, because you and I, look, I sit here every week with you. You know, you're a known pugilist, if you will.
That's true.
And I am not.
When you say pugilist, in this realm, bitch slapping, pimp slapping, and slap boxing.
Right.
Which is very
you're
popular.
You're trained. I mean, I'd imagine that the Guardian Angels do regular training on how
slap
to fight.
Slap boxing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I have no training in that. But we got to talk about this, because I sit here every week and I poke fun at your wife, and you never come across here and beat me up because we're adults.
No, no. Let me give you a tip on that. Coming back, I'm going to tell you exactly what is part of my show prep. When I'm on with Chris Hahn on the left, here's Julie Curtis Lee on the right. It is something I would advocate for so many people in America.
Is it Primal Scream related?
No. Who have anger management issues like me.
All right, we'll talk about it on the other side.
The left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Yes. Little Nirvana. Little heart-shaped box. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
Wait a second. You know that Courtney Love took that trigger of that sawed-off shotgun and put it.
I have many questions for her, but I did love her career as a lead singer of Hole. I thought that was a pretty rock.
Well, you
band.
Were a crunch rocker, but no tats. I noticed no tats.
No, I'm not a tat guy.
Later on, we got to talk about spring break. I'm sure that you indulged.
I did. I indulged.
Man,
I indulged.
The spring breaks have been absolutely off the hook on both coasts.
We definitely got to talk about spring break later on. We have an excellent about face at the top of the second hour today. So you want to definitely stick around for that. It's got everything. Sex, drugs, power.
But part of grunge is release of anger.
Yes.
Release of anger.
Yeah.
The rage.
Yeah, and this is what I'm worried about here. Like, you know, we have a lot of back and forth. You make fun of me, I make fun of you. We're guys hanging out. That's the way our show is. And I have poked fun at your wife. I've said she, you know, is younger, very young, mostly her age. And by the way, I adore your wife.
That has snatched you from the cradle.
I think she's a wonderful person. She saves cats. She knows that. You've never walked across here and smacked me in the face. There's nobody here to stop you. I probably couldn't stop you.
Don't.
Even though I'm 20 years younger than you and about 40 pounds heavier, I couldn't stop you.
Christian, don't think that I haven't had that urge.
Have you had the urge?
At a very young age in Canarsie, Brooklyn, I remember sitting there in PS 114 in Jungle Jenny Wilson's class making out my daily list of people that I wanted to whack. And immediately Jungle Jenny Wilson was not a shrink, not a psychologist like I have in some
school.
Curtis, they didn't have a term for it then, but nowadays you call it an anger management issue.
Right.
Although, for me, it was always theater of the mind. I wasn't going to go out. I don't carry guns.
You
I
were just, like, guns. Writing down your anger list.
But I wanted to really whack these guys. But, so, because I knew at an early age I had an anger management issue, I followed a guy from Brooklyn, too, the other side of Linden Boulevard. I grew up in Canarsie. He grew up in Brownsville, never ran, never will. Mike Tyson, Amboy Street. Remember that famous interview where he was stung out? He was barely able to function. I think it was Barbara Walters with his wife at the time.
Yeah.
Who is that evil vixen?
She was the
actress?
One from TV. Yeah, she was from Saved by the Bell or something.
Oh,
head of the class.
Oh, my God.
What was her name, Rich?
Oh, man.
Rich knows all this. Rich is our source. Rich, can you check with your sources in Hollywood and find out what her name
TMZ.
Was?
TMZ. Check with TMZ.
Check with your sources, Rich.
I will do some digging. I can't remember her name.
So she also dated Howard Stern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. But meantime, she was evil personified. And notice Mike Tyson was unable to answer questions. People said he's on drugs. It turned out he was. He was on liquid Prozac. So understand this, Chris. You notice I always go to the cafeteria right before we come here.
The green room.
Into the studio.
Yes.
And I have a little cup of coffee, and I take a little little vat that I carry with me of liquid Prozac.
What is liquid Prozac? You're talking about like gin or something like
no,
that?
No, it's drops. It's droplets. And I put it in, and it's like a mood accelerator.
See, I do a Red Bull before I come on.
Yeah, but that's
to kind of get me wired.
No, then you'd want to smack
No,
somebody.
But I don't want to smack. It just gets me hyper.
Trust me. Liquid Prozac, and even though right now I want to reach over, I want to hit you so hard, your mother would feel
but
the vibrations.
But you know it's not right, so you don't. Do it, Will Smith.
Oh, God.
Stick around.
It's the left versus the right. Debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
Oh, yeah. Curtis Lira on the right, Chris Hahn on the left. Ooh. Is this Ye? It's Ye.
It's Ye? Ye? What is it?
He's going by Ye now.
Ye's the artist. What is this? Prince?
He's
what?
Yay. He's just yay.
I can't. I
Not
get
Kanye,
vertigo.
He's yay.
I get vertigo. Now, speaking of Kanye, before there was.
I'm on Team Pete Davidson, just by the way. I just want to make that perfectly clear. I'm on Team Pete.
Team Pete, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Staten Island guy. Long Island, Staten Island. Sure. Us Islanders stay together.
Yeah. Okay. You keep thinking that, pal. You get white boys, right? White boys rule, right?
No.
Not geeks.
You
and Pete Davidson, right? Total geek outs. You really think you're going to roll
you
up?
You really think I'm a geek?
Let me ask you a question. Because just imagine you're in Vegas tonight.
Yeah.
Grammys, right? You think you're going to roll up to a bunch of homies from LA?
No.
West Coast rappers
again,
and East Coast
again,
rappers? You and Pete
again,
Davidson?
I am not a violent guy. I'm not a guy who's into violence.
Yeah, but you see, the only interest they're going to have you got Kim. You got a fire hose? What's up with that? Because you're a geek. You're geeked out.
Supposedly that's what they say about Pete Davidson. That it's like,
well, that's why you want to hang out with him, right?
No, it's like, yeah, that's it. Us guys with that kind of energy, we need to stick together. Because it's the same, right?
And you got no tats. I don't understand
I'm
this.
I'm not a tat guy.
He's tat.
He's a comedian. I'm a comedian. He's a funny guy. I think he's funny. I love that stupid movie he did last year, King of Staten Island. I thought it was hilarious. I love him on Saturday Night Live. I think he's a funny guy.
Okay.
By the way, I also love Kanye. I love Kanye's music. So I don't understand the, look, maybe because Kanye is such a genius and he's on such another level that it sometimes genius turns to madness. And I think that's what's going on there.
But the only song I've ever really identified with is Gold Digger, right? Was he writing that about the Kardashian family, Gold Diggers?
I don't know. That was before their time, I think. That was before they were famous.
And he was the ultimate Mama Luke. This guy was the mama's boy like you couldn't believe. He
Kanye.
Was. Yeah, the ultimate mama's boy. But let's discuss tonight Grammys. Originally, they were going to have the Grammys event in L.A. at what they call the Crypto Profiteer Dome or something like that. But they realized so many of those guys are going to be going to jail soon.
How long before crypto collapses? Just for the record. Do we have an over-under on that? Rich, what's your sources telling you? I don't know what's going on. I think it's going to...
I'd say the over-under is about maybe 5 or so years.
I'm going to say June. I don't think this lasts.
It's like pumping and dumping penny stocks. It's bound to implode.
I don't understand. Like, all of a sudden, they're advertising for stocks?
I understand, but let's face it. They don't want you to understand it. Just give them the money.
No. Mutual funds, America. Just trust me.
All right, so they decide they're not going to be in L.A., which would have been a normal place for the Grammys if it wasn't in New York. So they go to Vegas, and as you know, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So they say.
That's on every billboard.
Yes.
So they're all rolling in there, and all weekend long, they're raising the roof. They're at all the strip clubs, the girls, the men, the transgenders. They're cleaning up when they're on that dance floor. But they banned Kanye West. Kanye West is banned.
Not allowed.
Because remember, there was that Grammys where there were a lot of award winners, and you never remember who won any awards that night because Kanye, with his Dom Perignon champagne bottle... jumped up on the stage and started interrogating Taylor Swift like, you're no Beyonce.
My daughter to this day hates Ye for that. It was Hennessy.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
He was drunk. Let's just say he was drunk. And yet, notice, he got all the attention.
Yeah.
He stole the Grammy show.
So you think that, and you might be right, that he will be, or people will are going to look for a moment like that because of the Will Smith incident last week at the Oscars. Now it's the Grammys' turn. And you think that people are going to say, look, let me make a scene because it'll raise my profile.
Chris, it's not me. It's the organizers of the Grammys who have said, we got to lock down the Grammys. Because you got all of these aspiring artists, some of whom may be winning a Grammy for the very first time. And they could be like VH1 one-hit wonders. You know, they come and they go. But they're going to want to define themselves in perpetuity, like Will Smith is now, like Chris Rock, and like Jada Pinkett Smith is.
Are they going to get the guards from the Squid Game to, like, just stand there and, like, if anybody goes too far over a line, knock them right there?
Right, with their loaded nines.
Yeah.
But you you can't say that.
Snipers.
You can't say that in Vegas, because remember at that country western concert?
Yeah, yeah.
That crazy guy in the room of the
what
casino?
What are they going to do then? They're going to put a fence?
I don't know, an electrified fence, maybe.
They're going to put a fence there, and they're going to have a doorman?
But the organ. Organizers and the producers and the directors of the Grammy show are terrified that some of these young and upcoming artists who have nothing to lose and everything to gain, because most of them you'll never hear about the next year, are going to do something off the hook on stage. And remember, there's no Kanye. Now, will Kanye try to bum rush and somehow get in there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
The guys,
plus, it's Sunday, and now he's very religious. Doesn't he do like a church
mornings.
Show?
Yeah, in the mornings.
That
ain't
I know that a little later on we're going to talk about some of those fiery preachers and some of their problems. I wonder if Ye is one of them now.
So what is your favorite Ye song, a.k.a. Kanye West?
Touch the Sky, without a doubt. Love it.
Not Great Gold song. Diggers.
No. I mean, I like that song, but I think Touch the Sky is that's his classic right there, right? Is it Touch the Sky or Kiss the Sky? It's Touch the Sky. It's Touch the Sky. I'm right. Yeah.
Now, extrapolate on this, because the other big story that's taking place on the left coast and our coast is it's winding down spring break. I never had an opportunity to go to spring break, only with Guardian Angels to stop all the madness and chaos on the beaches and the no-tell motels, Holiday Inn Expresses. But I have a feeling that you, Chris Hahn, were a real dog.
I went on spring break twice in 1994 and 1995, both times Panama City, Florida.
The Handle?
That was the cool place to go
the
in the
90s. The place that delivered the election in 2000 and Bush 43 and not
this
Al Gore?
Pre that. But it, you know, 1994, 1995. I actually talked about this on Fox News last week with Kennedy. She was there in Panama City at a place called Spinnaker's. We saw Bush play in the rain, the band Bush, not the president Bush. And it was it was a great time. Eight of us took a suite at the Barney Gray Motor Lodge.
Now, wait a second. The Barney Gray Motor Lodge, that's on par with Motel 6 and Super 8.
The Barney Gray Motor Lodge was on the water in Panama City. On the water, okay? And it was $13 each per night.
Now, if I remember
correctly, for a week.
When I was in Panama City, you had a combination. You had hillbillies coming over from Alabama.
You did.
And then you got hardcore black urban guys like flooding the beach area too. A mixture of the two.
I don't recall. I remember just being all, it was all college kids.
Yeah, of course they're college.
Yeah,
but
it was all college kids, and I don't remember the racial breakdown. I think it was very diverse.
I think it's very mixed now.
It was very diverse when I was there, but yeah, there were a lot of people from Alabama. And
rebel flags.
There, it was a pretty interesting. Let me say, I was drunk most of the time, the entire time. I don't drink anymore, but back then I did, and I was drunk for basically 5 days. And I met a lot of young ladies, if you might say. I had a lot of fun.
Were they Dixie chicks? Did they come with their?
I did meet one or two.
Did they have their Daisy Dukes on?
I did meet one or two women from the South. Let's just say I had a thing for Southern women back then, and it was a blast. It was a good time.
Over what you do remember over those 5 days.
Yeah.
Did you do anything that should have gotten you locked up by the county sheriff where you got to sign the pick and peas in the pea patch at the county farm for a month?
I'm sure I didn't. I was always one of those guys who was very straight-laced. So I didn't do anything.
But you did see a lot of wild and crazy stuff.
Oh, my God. We stood on the street for like an hour just walking up to girls and saying, hey, you want to make out? every other one would say yes. So it was like,
wow.
It was pretty crazy.
First base.
It was insane.
Wait, you were 500?
I was batting 500, just Man. Walking up to strange women. Hey, welcome to Panama City. I was like acting like I was the welcoming
guy. So a Dixie chick wearing Daisy Dukes that you don't know, she recognizes
Curtis,
that you're a Yankee.
I could tell you stories about yes. Panama City, Florida. And the first time I went there on spring break was wild. The second time was not so wild. We had actually graduated, and we said, let's go on spring break again now that we have some money. And we actually stayed at a nicer hotel and played a lot of golf, but didn't do as much crazy stuff.
How different this was than the movies I watched as a kid. What was that? Beach Blanket Bingo with Annette Funicella and Paul Anka.
Spring Break was Where the Boys Are.
Right, right. Yeah. But, I mean, how tame and mild that was. All they were doing was twist and shout.
It was
the boogaloo.
It was a wild, 6 days. I have never been so tired in my life as I was, when I got home from spring break. It was insane. It was an insane, insane time.
All right, now how would you compare it comparably to the spring break that has been a real problem in both the East Coast of Florida and over in Santa Barbara, south of Los Angeles?
I don't know how anybody could afford to have spring break in Santa Barbara. I took my family to Santa Barbara about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I think I spent all my money there.
Anyway, so, Santa Barbara, if you haven't been
there. One of the most beautiful places on Earth.
It is drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful.
You hit that beach area, and then it's like you're looking up a mountainside as cars are going up, and you say, ooh, that's where Michael Jackson's Never Never Land was.
Oprah.
Ooh, that's where Ronald Reagan's ranch was.
Right.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
That's where my brother-in-law's grandmother lives. It was insane.
It's so beautiful. But this weekend, it's like domestic terrorists.
I can't believe it.
Like locusts through a cornfield. They were just eating up everything, all these college kids.
I don't even know where they would stay, where they could afford. I mean, like I said, I don't think there are any $13 a night motels in Santa Barbara.
There were like 50 people on a deck.
Yeah.
50 people. The decks were cringing. You would have thought there was a volcano eruption nearby or an earthquake.
Yeah, that's not good.
Now,
that's not good.
Let's flip the script to Miami Beach, which was in total lockdown.
You got people dying of overdoses there.
Overdoses.
West Point kids.
Gunshots. They had to impose a curfew at 6 o'clock at night, which meant all the gin mills and restaurants lost their shirts.
They were dying over that.
And think of it. It used to be, where did everybody want to go? Fort Lauderdale and Daytona Beach.
Panama City.
I know, but that's low budget.
South Padre Island, Texas.
Let's face it. Yeah. That was a bit low budget.
It was very low budget, but it was a lot of fun.
But everybody wanted to hit Fort Lauderdale. Everybody wanted to hit Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach because, it was near the track. You could actually see the track in the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Rev up your engines.
Yeah, I never understood the Daytona Beach lore for spring break. Panama City, though, had a lot of bars, a lot of clubs, and a beautiful beach.
So, because this lockdown and pandemic, it's just like being stripped away.
Right.
This was like really the first spring break in 2 years where everybody with high levels of testosterone.
I would imagine everybody went this year.
And estrogen just pouring through their craniums.
Yep.
Had that urge to merge and just join together at the hip.
Yeah. I mean, clearly. I mean, that happens on spring break normally.
Okay,
so can
now,
you imagine being locked down for 2 years?
Okay, daddy now.
Daddy?
Yeah, daddy. Because now you're a daddy.
I am a daddy.
Now you have a daughter.
I have two daughters.
Two daughters. Yeah. Excuse me. That's even worse.
I know.
Double the trouble.
Unlike you, I was not blessed with sons. I have daughters.
I know, but you see, when
I am blessed with.
When you have sons, you're not as concerned for them as you would be if it's daddy's little
girl. My older daughter, I'm more concerned about. My younger daughter would beat them up, I think. She's taller than both of us, and you met her.
I met her. Yeah. When we had bring
she
your kids
a,
to
she
work
is
day.
She's the striker on her soccer team. She's,
All right,
tough.
But let's say they decide that they're going on spring break.
Yeah.
And then going down either to the East Coast, Florida, from either Miami Beach,
right.
South Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Daytona Beach, all up and down. Or they decide, wow, they really want to explore America and head to the West Coast and especially Santa
Panama City.
What advice would you give them? Knowing that you probably already told them tales of what a dog, how decadent, debaucherous, and hedonistic you were.
I never told them how bad I was at spring break. They, hopefully they don't go through looking through my college stuff and find pictures. But no, I would tell them, don't drink anything anybody gives you. How about that?
Don't
buy your own drinks. Or watch the drink being poured from the bartender. Don't drink anything. Because what I'm seeing right now is people slipping things in people's drinks, and that scares me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And you yourself were a bartender, right, at a townie bar.
I was in Albany, New York.
And nobody tried to slip anybody Spanish Cagney's, fly?
Cagney's on Central.
No Spanish fly, any of those?
No, Bill Cosby. There was no Spanish fly there. No.
But you're right. I never even thought of that.
That's the thing I worry about
the
most.
Go to the bars. That's right. And they slip them these Mickeys.
And I neither one of my daughters are drinkers. My younger one's too young to drink. My older one, you know, is old enough to drink, but she's not a drinker at all. She doesn't drink, just like me. But, you know, even if you're getting a club soda, somebody could slip something in there and knock you out.
You mean like LL Cool J, right? I want to knock you out. I can't believe it. Another guy
from Long Island. I think he's probably fifth.
I mean,
on the list of
Queens,
Long Island.
Wait
no,
a
he's
second.
From Deer Park.
Wait a second. I thought he was from Southeast Queens.
He is
Queens.
From Deer
Hold
Park.
Hold on a second.
He went to Deer Park High School.
When I walked off the number
where
17.
My parents went. My
Hold
parents
on.
Went to Deer Park
Hold
High
on.
School.
I right. challenge you on this.
LL, if you're listening, call in. I don't think the phones are open right now,
Hold
but
on.
We will, you know,
Recently,
take your call.
I got off the number 7 train.
Yeah.
Right in the shadow of the old Shea Stadium,
yeah.
Your favorite, Citi Field.
I'm a Yankee fan.
Oh,
sorry.
I don't want you as a Yankee
I grew
fan.
I go up to 161st
you
Street.
You disparage the interlocking N and Y.
Trust me, man. Trust me.
So I'm walking towards the Unisphere because there's a big rally of labor unions who are opposed to what Eric Adams did here in maintaining the vaccine mandate and not rescinding
so
it
like
as
seven,
he did.
Seven or eight people showed up to
no,
the rally.
It was a packed rally. All the unions were represented.
40 people.
So as I'm walking there with the Guardian right. Angels, there's this huge statue of LL Cool J with a boombox.
Right.
And it says son of Queens.
Yeah, he was born in Queens. But he
you
grew
can't
up
claim
on Long
him
Island.
As your own. I'm sorry.
Okay, so then that moves me up a notch on the fame list on Long Island. If you want to take him back to Queens,
well, that's right.
I am
that
higher
makes you
on 149.
The list.
Yeah, I'm like 149th, not 150th. All right. If that's the way you want to play, we'll play.
Boy,
but he went to Deer Park High School. That is a fact.
You know, Krishan, you are amazing. You really just weaseled your way out of giving
he
advice
went
to your
to
daughters.
Deer Park High School.
All right, none of this. You weaseled out of giving advice to your daughters for spring break.
I gave the advice. Don't take any drinks from anybody, period.
And so basically,
I'll give you money. I'll buy all the drinks. Don't take from anybody.
Prohibition, right?
No, I don't. Look, I'm not going to tell them not to drink. I drank when I was in college.
Wine coolers? No. What are you going to limit them to wine coolers?
I was doing Mad Dog back in the day. Mad Dog.
Midnight Express?
Well, no, it was like watermelon flavored Mad Dog.
God, this
It was like $2.
You were a freak.
We got more to talk about. Stick around.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, Christopher Hahn. Heavyweight slugfest.
Oh, it's LL, who we have learned... We have learned, I love this song, it's one of my favorite LL Cool J songs, fantastic. He was born on Long Island and raised in Queens. Moves from Suffolk County to St. Albans, Queens?
That's
I don't
true.
Know what's
That's
up
true.
With that.
That's true, you normally...
It's the other way around,
right.
usually.
Right, but he went to a very tough high school, Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
Southeast Queens. It was so bad, they divided it into four separate high schools, and they called it tiers, with their own principal and their own deans and their
wow.
own police department. Tough school, but he is considered the son of Queens.
He is.
You cannot rob that from him. So
well,
you're now,
you know, he's the son of Long Island who moved to Queens. Just saying.
But that song, The Comeback, right, could be Mel Gibson. You know, here's a guy, remember, what was it, like 2006?
I'm not watching any Mel Gibson films ever.
But wait a second, he gets stopped, right, by the deputy up there yep. in the hills in San Fernando Valley or whatever.
I think he was in Santa Barbara. He was going to spring break.
Good. And starts spewing right. out the anti-Semitic nonsense.
Horrible.
And then that's it. His
anti-black stuff with his wife. On the phone.
Right, but his career went into a tailspin.
Yes.
So let's imagine, forget for a moment Will Smith,
right.
Jada Pinkett Smith, forget Chris Rock, forget the slap. That all of a sudden, remember, he was nominated Director of the Year for Hacksaw Ridge.
He won.
He did.
Yeah.
So just imagine if when he won that award in, what, 2017?
Right.
If, like, 10 years after the anti-Semitic incident, all of a sudden Larry David had flashbacks, went up on that, you know, as Geek of the Year, and pimp-slapped Mel
Gibson.
Could
you imagine? Could you imagine? It would have been great.
He would have gotten a standing ovation, right?
I think it was a guy would have been more like the guy who played Sonny Corleone. He's Jewish. James Caan.
That's
James
right.
James Caan should have got up there and smacked him in the head.
The guy who tried to sue me because I said he was affiliated with the Colombo crime family. Really? Come on, James Caan. But born on my birthday, March 26th, we share that birthday.
Same day as my older daughter.
But let me ask you this. I remember on his comeback, Mel Gibson, Jodie Foster, a lifelong friend of his,
yep.
decided to throw him a Hollywood lifeline and had him star in that movie Beaver, in which he had those sock puppets, remember?
Yep.
I'm sure that was one of your favorite movies.
I didn't watch it.
Wow.
I'm done with him. I didn't watch Daddy's Home 2, even though I liked Daddy's Home 1 because Mel Gibson was
in it. You didn't watch that film he did of the indigenous peoples from South America in their native language in the Brazilian Amazon jungles?
I don't feel like he's explained his anti-Semitic rant enough.
You'll never forgive him.
I'm the grandson of Holocaust survivors, and I'm not telling people to boycott him. I just don't feel for me. I'm done with the guy.
How about this?
And I loved his work. I loved, you know, Mad Max is one of my favorite movies growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
remember who had the cameo in Mad Max?
Tina Turner.
That
wasn't even a cameo. She had a big part.
Right. You're correct.
In the third movie.
Tina Turner was showing shots of leg in that, yeah. And you said, oh, my God.
And she was like in her late 50s
yes.
when she did that movie. She looked
yes.
great.
She lives, I think, now in Switzerland.
I saw her accept the award for when she was nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She is incredible.
She looked great for a woman. She's like 85.
And talk about somebody who was
pimp-slapped. She looks better than either one of us.
Her husband, Ike,
yeah.
really abused her.
I think
really
that's going to be Will Smith's next comeback role. He's going to play Ike Turner in a remake of Tina and
don't
Ike.
Tell me. Jada Pinkett Smith is going to play Tina Turner.
No. They're going to get somebody else. Maybe they'll get somebody else to play Tina Turner.
But I'm just thinking to myself, here's Mel Gibson, Braveheart, right?
Right.
No doubt. Academy Award winning.
Yeah, he won it.
And remember at the end, he gets impaled. He's impaled by that guy, mm-hmm. you know, with the hood on.
Yep.
Is that what you'd like to do to Mel Gibson?
No. I don't wish violence on anybody. I'm not a violent guy. I'm a pacifist.
Oh, that's right. Well,
I don't want to kill anybody.
Here, I got some liquid Prozac.
I mean,
here,
if Putin could get, you know, killed tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset about it, but I wouldn't do it.
Oh,
so.
Oh okay. Right. But anyway, speaking of people that you might like to strangle, you might like to sort of put Preparation H on and have them dry up and float away. The guy who's going to be Speaker of the House.
I don't think he's going to be Speaker. Even if they take the House, I don't think he will be Speaker.
What?
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, you're thinking Psycho Boy Jordan?
Yeah, I think your boy, Jim Jordan.
Without the jacket
on? Jim Shorts Jordan will be up there.
Talk about a guy with an anger management
talk
problem.
Talk about a guy who's probably smacked a few people in his life. Jim Jordan is going to be Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy's weak.
Who is it you want to talk about coming up next?
Well, we're going to have the About Face of the Week coming up next, and Kevin McCarthy is going to win the award, and we'll talk more about that on the other side.
Hands down,
no doubt, the About Face of the Week.
And can I say gay here at WABC?
You are required to say gay when you're on the air.
Well, what about in honor of what would have been Marvin Gaye's birthday, gay with an E?
Yeah, say it. Say it loud, say it proud. Stick around.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Oh, a nice Long Island band, Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult. And that reminds me, it's the 79th birthday of Christopher Walken.
Ah.
Who's had 7 appearances on Saturday Night Live.
One of the best.
And the best, which I and my wife watch over and over, he's there and he comes out as Bruce, I forget what his name, the producer, the fame record producer.
Right, right.
And he says to the classic Blue Oyster Cult song.
More cowbell.
More cowbell.
I don't know if I do it, Chris. When you more cowbell. It's one of the best sketches of all time.
And let me tell you, he is Psycho Boy extraordinaire. Now, I ask our audience.
Yeah.
Think of it. There was that yacht. It was off Catalina Island. No, that was not the Sea Org ocean liner of L. Ron Hubbard and Scientologists.
Right.
There was Robert Wagner, husband of Natalie Wood, and there was Christopher Walken, her co-star in the movie.
Oh, Natalie, watch out for the soap on the deck.
Exactly.
Right.
Again.
No, not good. They're like
mystery,
saying, no, don't do that. I got to work on that one.
Mystery continues
right.
as to who threw Natalie Wood off of that yacht. Was it Psycho Boy Christopher Walken?
I don't think he's a psycho. I think he just plays
psychos. Did you see
him
in Deer Hunter?
Yes.
He got an Academy Award.
He's great. He's in a show right now on Apple TV called Severance. He's got a bit part in it. And he's just eerie great in it.
By the way, what a dancer he is. A lot of people don't realize he went to dance school. You wouldn't associate him. He is a combination of Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire. He danced to an EDM song, like in 2000, horrible song. The guy was jumping on tables, off tables, doing pirouettes.
Why haven't I been invited to? I can't do it. I don't have a Christopher Walken.
Chris,
sorry, I'm trying.
He is.
I was not prepared for this, Curtis.
Psycho Boy. There's no doubt. Remember, he was in what? Seven Psychopaths with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
Seven heads in a duffel bag.
Like the seven samurai, I mean, except without the samurai swords.
Yeah.
Total. And then he was in charge of the black narco gang. He gets out of prison. What was that, King of New York? Remember, he gets out of prison?
His cameo in Pulp Fiction. That he does that like two-minute monologue about holding the watch for the guy, for Bruce Willis's father in Vietnam.
I know, but you're saying King of Staten Island, you know, Davidson, Kardashian man.
Right, right.
I'm saying King of New York, where he gets out of jail and he looks at the guy he left in charge of the black narco-terrorist gang, and he goes, "You never visited me in prison." And he had that look on his face. Yeah. You knew that guy was dead.
He's so good.
You never visited.
So good.
Why didn't you visit me in prison?
Where are you going with this? Where are you going with this?
Well, the fact that you...
I'm not on the list.
...are humiliated.
I'm devastated.
Our crack staff here has printed out every notable person who has ever been birthed on Long Island. And you don't even make the grade.
I feel like Mark Levin's producer's back there, and they took my name off this list.
No. Also here at our flagship station, Greg Kelly, right, who was a lieutenant colonel, United States Marine Corps, fly guy, was in the no-fly zone over Iraq. Son of the longest-serving police commissioner in the history of New York, Ray
Not
Kelly.
Not on the list.
Featured on Newsmax every night at
7:00. He was on Channel 5 for 20 years.
Garden City.
He's not
on the
list. City. I'm not on the list.
Let me get an example. I think you got Rob. Pat Benatar, give me your best shot. You know, LL Cool J, I'll knock you out. Pat Benatar. But Tony Bennett? How can Long Island claim Tony Bennett? He's the Astoria kid, and
probably born on Long Island.
He's in the New Jersey Hall of Fame. They claim him in New Jersey,
Everybody
too.
Claims Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett's international.
Bob Costas? Is he from St. Louis?
No, he's from Comac.
You're kidding.
He's from Comac,
Struck me as a Midwest guy. Rodney Dangerfield?
Hey, ho, hey. I got no respect.
Fran Drescher?
I'm not Rodney Dangerfield. I got no respect, eh?
She went to Hillside High School. Excuse me. No. Hillcrest High School.
Maybe she moved to Long Island.
There's no Debbie Gibson, the mall
singer? Debbie Gibson's from Long Island. We all know that. Everybody knows that.
Joey Heatherton. Oh, Joey Heatherton.
I don't know who that is.
She was drop-dead gorgeous. You know, when Dean Martin had his variety show.
I'm sure I have more followers on Twitter than her. And yet,
I don't
think
she's alive any longer. Kevin James,
King
of Queens.
Kevin James, he went to Ward Melville High School.
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio lives a mile from me.
No, I saw the opening credits to Karate Kid. He grew up in Weehawken.
That's a
Everybody
fantasy.
Saw that.
That's a fantasy. They didn't want to have to deal with the traffic getting over the George Washington Bridge, so they started the movie in New Jersey.
Harvey Milk, San Francisco.
No, Harvey Milk went to SUNY Albany. He's the most famous person to graduate from SUNY Albany, but I am on that list.
Rosie Perez, she's Brooklyn all over.
No. She grew up in, like, Comac.
And then Ray Romano, come on.
Another Long Island guy.
I think he went to Hillcrest High School.
No, Long Island.
And then Leslie West, Forest Hills.
No, Leslie West
was born and raised on Long Island, moved to Forest Hills.
The only one I'll give you credit for, because as a part Polish-American growing up, the hero of all Poles was Carl Yastrzemski of the Red Sox, who grew up on a potato farm in Suffolk County.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not on this list.
I'm not on the list, man. I'm not looking on the list. I read it twice, man.
You know,
I'm
number one on the Canarsie list.
I think I'm number one on the Centereach list.
Centereach?
Which is a part of Long Island.
I couldn't even find that with an electron microscope.
Centereach and Ronkonkoma are the two places I grew up.
Ronkonkoma!
Rock.
How far is that from Bohemia where my wife grew up?
Ronkonkoma is about a minute from Bohemia. They border each other. They are border towns, Bohemia and Ronkonkoma. In fact, they go to the same school.
Guys ride around in pickup trucks like they're down south, yeah, like the hillbillies.
Some guys do. I don't. A lot of SUVs on Long Island. People are worried about the snow. But you know what? You know what I'm worried about? Hypocrisy. I think this show does a great job of calling out hypocrisy. So I think it's time for us to do the About Face of the Week.
It's the left versus the right.
Right, left, right, left, right, left. About Face.
So there's been a lot of bad behavior among House Republicans. I think we have a mashup of some of the things that have been said by House Republicans over the last couple of years, and all of it met with deafening silence. Play the mashup for me.
If I must join Alexander Hamilton, the first person attempted to be censored by this House, so be it. It is done.
I look to my left, and there she is, Ilhan Omar. Whoops. And I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack. We should be fine.
Everything that I've heard of Q, I hope that this is real, because it only means America is getting stronger and better, and people are returning to conservative values
and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about.
So all that gets a pass. Speaking at conferences introduced by white supremacists.
Okay, so all gets a about pass. How many of the Republican Congress people were in that?
There were about eight of them. It's all mixed up.
So you got eight. You picked out. I just take the squad, all four of them, and then
we could debate the squad later. We're talking about one person.
Okay,
right now.
Okay. Who is that?
We're talking about Kevin McCarthy, because finally something has got him to discipline a member. Finally. After all these years, he has taken umbrage with something that was said. Play this clip.
Look at all these people. A lot of them that I've looked up to through my life. I always paid attention to politics, guys. Then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Yeah. And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy. Yeah. Or the fact that, you know, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, you know, addiction in our country. And then you watch them do, you know, a key bump of cocaine right in front of you.
So that is Madison Cawthorn, who is a first-year member of the House of Representatives from the great state of North Carolina. He's in his 20s, I might add, saying that he has been invited to orgies and coke parties with his fellow House Republicans.
Let's give a little bit
now,
of
Kevin McCarthy though. Was very upset with that and disciplined him and said, you've lost my trust.
All right, but hold on a second. Here's this young guy, against all odds, won the congressional seat, vacated by Mark Meadows when he became the chief of staff for then-President Donald Trump. Trump did not endorse his candidacy. He actually beat the Trump candidate.
He did.
He beat the, I think, Mark Meadows candidate.
Turns out that he's been the most Trumpy guy in Congress, though, since he's gotten there.
And he's best known because when you see him, young as he is, he's in a wheelchair.
He is.
So immediately, it's sort of like when you look at the governor of Texas, who is in a wheelchair, is you're a little sympathetic, a little empathy.
Right.
You said, okay, the guy's in a wheelchair. You think back, FDR, we never really saw FDR in a wheelchair.
Right.
Okay. And so he said some things there that sound like they were completely off the hook, right? It's like all of a sudden he went to parties, Republicans or lobbyists.
I just, my thing is, why all of a sudden, Kevin, are you upset with a member? They have been doing all sorts of things. You've defended them. You've said that you're going to give Marjorie Taylor Greene back her committee assignments when you become speaker, which I don't think will ever happen. But Jim Jordan will give it back to him anyway. You, even though she's been, you know, making anti-Semitic statements, speaking at white supremacist rallies, generally embarrassing your members. This, which might be true, may not, but it's not even political. It's nothing offensive. I mean, people go, consenting adults can have orgies if they want. I mean, I'm not against it. I haven't been invited to one, unfortunately, in my lifetime, but I'm not against it. You know, people do drugs. You know, cocaine's kind of serious. I wouldn't be advocating for people to do that.
Certainly, but you were certainly in proximity to people doing cocaine when you were growing up at parties.
I have never seen cocaine ever in my life. Other than one time, I was at a Pink Floyd concert at Giant Stadium, and I saw somebody doing it in their car. It's the only time I've ever seen it.
Yeah, what a prude. And you were a bartender? Bartenders would sell.
Could have been happening in the bar. I never saw it. Never came in front of
me. You know a lot of bartenders would augment their income by selling cocaine.
Well, I was in college. I was augmenting my income by bartending.
Well, that's right. You were a townie bar.
Right.
All right, but let's get back to this young man. Very immature. I think we can all agree on that.
Definitely immature, without a doubt.
But I think, and I don't know this to be a fact, that he conflated something here.
Mm.
You have to understand that people, when they start weaving these narratives,
right.
And we've heard narratives before that go in a million different directions.
Sure, sure.
Not to the extent like this, but we've heard it from Bill Clinton.
It's pretty specific.
I know, but Bill Clinton was great with narratives. You know, in Hope, Arkansas, grew up, a black church was burned down and proved not to. And a whole bunch of politicians.
Right.
Right-wing, left-wing, Republicans, Democrats. I think this young man, because Roger Stone has been in the news so much, remember, given a pardon by then-President Donald Trump, but the court process, the trial, and now even January 6th. So I'm saying to myself, he's thinking back as a student of Republican history, and he's saying, here was this guy, Roger Stone, hitman for the Republican Party.
Right.
By the way, who made his bones in a cafeteria of his elementary school, I think in Norwalk, Connecticut, where he went around to all the kids and said,
he's not on the Long Island list. I checked. I was looking for
him. But imagine this. As a kid, he said to all the kids, you got to tell your parents to vote for JFK or we're all going to hell.
Right.
And then to become the number one sycophantodian lackey of Richard Nixon during Watergate. And the rest of the story is he's working for all these Republican candidates.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's Bob Dole. This is before Viagra. He's the All-American candidate from Kansas. The last candidate from Kansas was Dwight Eisenhower, right? He's walking in his footsteps against Bill Clinton. And it turns out,
let me be a bridge to the past,
that Roger Stone was advertising openly in swinger magazines, he and his wife.
I know.
At a swinger club in Fort Lauderdale.
Full picture.
Invites Jeffrey Toobin from CNN to do an interview. Remember?
Right.
The guy who ended up, you know, what was
I
it?
I wonder
in
if
the
Jeffrey Toobin went to the stripper club with
whatever.
Him. Probably.
But he was out and open about it. He was not apologizing.
Didn't hide it, said, this is who I am.
Yeah, he said, look, I'm not doing drugs. I'm not a lush. This is what I like to do. I like to go in and enjoy a good orgy or two. And Bob Dole and his
had a
wife.
Heart attack.
His wife head of the American
Red
Cross.
Well, Bill Clinton sweet cheating on his wife and all of
them. Oh, my God. Right. Bob, you got to get rid of him. And they axed him. They fired him only for him to return a million times.
Yeah.
You can't
he's Trump's guy.
Roger Stone. Look at the documentary on Netflix. No matter how
even with the conviction, he gets pardoned.
I'm thinking this young man conflated.
Do you think maybe he was invited to an orgy by Roger Stone?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, somebody invited him to an orgy.
Well, didn't.
I think that he told the truth. And he was reprimanded for telling the truth because you could do whatever you want, but don't play games with our family values.
No,
that's what Kevin McCarthy.
This is the
we
problem.
Still got to get those religious right wingers to vote for
this
us.
This is the
we
problem
need
when you blanketly indict. You make it appear that it could have been anybody in the House, anybody in the Senate, any of the lobbyists or former Republicans who served in the House or the Senate. It's the same thing that the U.S. Senator from New York, Gillibrand, did when she went after her fellow Democrat from
Al
Minnesota.
Franken,
And he got washed out.
I don't like that he got washed out.
Okay, but he got washed out.
Yep.
And then she went on to tell a tale that when she was the young U.S. senator who had been chosen to replace, remember, Hillary Rodham Clinton in a battle. Remember, there was Obama and the Kennedys on one side because they want Caroline Kennedy. Obama said, and Bloomberg said, you got to go with Caroline Kennedy, who, by the way, couldn't chew gum and think at the same time. And then your boss, Chuck Schumer, who muscled his way in and said, oh, no, I want Annie Oakley from outside of Albany, who believes in the Second Amendment, who is a moderate Democrat.
Because Chuck's a moderate.
Yeah, but
leave
still.
Leave it at that.
Still. And remember what she said? When I came into the cloakroom, there were a bunch of perv senators that were all over and would never name names. You can't do that.
I don't doubt it, but you can't
oppose. You can't just say that. But that said, somebody said something to Madison Cawthorn, and Kevin McCarthy doesn't want him talking about it anymore. That's the about
face of the week.
The future
Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives.
I think he's going to resign after Jim Jordan takes the speakership from him next year. Stick around. More to come.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, Christopher Hahn.
Oh, a little Alanis Morissette, baby.
I hate this.
What do you hate
Man,
Alanis?
It's such a bummer. Here it is. We were like on a plateau, you know. The energy was up, and this is like, it's almost like you want to impale yourself.
No, she's fantastic. This is a great song. Ironic, fantastic. You don't like this song?
You know, you did this purposely because I'm gonna Will Smith you now. Yeah. You're not even listed.
I am looking at the list of famous people from Canarsie, Brooklyn.
That's right.
And you,
I rocked the house.
You are on the list along with Howard Schultz.
Howard Schultz of Starbucks.
And John Sally.
Yeah, but let me tell you a story.
A lot of S's from
Canarsie. Howard Schultz, right? The guy wanted to run for president and independent, gave that up quick when he got booed book signing at Barnes & Noble.
Right.
So anyway, he grows up in the Bayview Housing Projects. Jewish kid.
Yep.
He ends up babysitting for John Sally, the famous basketball player.
Huge.
Who played for the Detroit Pistons, L.A. Lakers, a great sportscaster.
Didn't he end his career with the Knicks? Didn't he spend some time with the Knicks, Sally?
He had a cup of coffee. Went to Canarsie High School.
There you
so
go.
Legitimately Canarsie in the projects, but Howard Schultz, one of the richest guys in the world, you know, guy who oversaw Starbucks,
a man who got us to pay $3 a cup for coffee.
That came out of the projects.
Yeah.
And then they have another guy on this list that I went to junior high school with who should not be on this list.
Why is that?
Because, like Mike Tyson, he's from the Ville, never ran, never will, Brownsville. World be free.
Did you know him growing up?
I went to junior high school with him when there was forced busing.
Right.
Billesee Junior High School, so they're busing in all the black young men and women from Brownsville. They didn't want to be there, and we didn't want them there. And he's in gym class. The guy, believe it or not, could not play basketball. So the coach says, well, this is how you shoot. He's teaching him how to shoot. Lloyd Bernard Free was his name, LBF. From that day forward, he never passed the ball. He was a chucker.
But he got into college and got into the pros.
He went to, I think, Guilford College, but
right.
He ended up with the Philadelphia 76ers. He would shoot from 50 feet out. Yeah. He would never pass the ball. And then he owned the Superfly Boutique right on Pitkin Avenue in the heart of Brownsville. You wanted to go to a haberdashery to get a suit, you know, multicolored suit? You had to go to Superfly.
Now, is that where you got the red sateen jackets?
No.
I didn't get along
with World Be Free because he wouldn't pass to me. And it wasn't because I was white.
Because you were short.
He didn't pass to any of the brothers. He was a chucker.
He just didn't pass.
But notice, I'm on the list.
You're on the list. Look, if somebody made a list of famous people from Center Reach, I'd probably make the list. But I don't think there's enough people from Center Reach for them to make that
list. People can't even find that place.
It's the middle of Long Island.
I understand.
It's literally the middle of Long Island. As far as you could be from Manhattan, as far as you could be from Montauk.
What was it? Spudheads, Potato Farm? What was it?
Well, when I was growing up, it was just strip malls and, you know.
It was dull. Dull life, right?
Yeah, it
dull
was pretty
life.
Dull.
And now
yeah,
look at you now. You're this big marker, North Shore, regular appearances on the Fox News channel.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any bigger than that.
Well, clearly not big enough. I mean, I got people who have half the Twitter followers of me, not even half. Making the Long Island famous list. Who wrote this list? I believe that Bill O'Reilly and Tucker Carlson are in charge of this list.
No,
I want to recount.
Tucker Carlson is not from Long Island.
I got to talk to my agent. Why am I not on that list?
Yeah, you're so low budget.
You
don't realize it, Chris Hahn.
So bad.
You couldn't even make the Suffolk County list, never mind the Long Island list.
I'm not even on the Suffolk County. How about the town of Brookhaven? Did I make that list?
No.
I am really, really annoyed by this whole thing.
It's okay.
Stick around. Two moderately famous guys will be back. Oh, yeah, a little heart. Love this. I was watching them do a concert the other night on
some channel.
You really thought that they were sisters or what? Whoa.
They were sisters. They are sisters.
I don't know. I think it was a little Lesbos love there.
No. They're sisters.
Hey, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Can I talk about that in Florida?
No.
My theory of
we're going to get banned in Florida if we start saying gay all day. I have to because
remember, April 1st was the anniversary of Martin Gay being killed by his daddy. And then April 2nd is his, would have been his actual birthday if he was still alive. Am I permitted in Florida to...
By this man, you are permitted to say it whenever you want, because I think, quite frankly, it's ridiculous. I think it's like pandering to a ridiculous religious right base of the Republican Party that, you know, Ron DeSantis thinks he needs to get elected president. And he might be right, unfortunately. And this bullying of you know, gay kids and transgender kids is kind of ridiculous, because it's sad that he would do that.
How is this bullying? Explain this to me.
You're making it uncomfortable for kids, not just gay kids, but kids who may have gay parents. I know that when you were a kid, when I was a kid, you go to school, you sit around in a circle, you talk about your parents. Well, what if you have two dads or two moms? You're not allowed to talk about that in schools? That's what the bill says. For kindergarten through third grade, you're not allowed to talk about that stuff.
I don't think the bill says that you can't say the term gay. You can't say the term lesbian.
Let's be clear. Progressives are doing what Republicans always do. We are taking the most extreme version of that bill, and we're telling everybody that's what it is. Because, like, for example, the Green New Deal, the Republicans found some sort of staff memo where they were brainstorming ideas, and they said, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to ban chopped meat. And that was what the Green New Deal became among conservatives. Democrats are doing what conservatives have always done. We're saying Republicans don't want Democrats. They don't want people to be able to say gay.
I thought it was Cory Booker who was trying to ban chopped meat.
Well, he banned it from himself because he's a vegetarian.
Well, didn't he lose his boo?
Look, man, I feel bad for him, right? Leave him alone.
Wasn't there at the Academy Awards with his boo? Who was his boo there?
I don't think she was at the Academy Awards. It's what's her name? Come on, Rich. Rosario Dawson.
Now, you sure she wasn't a beard?
No, she was not a beard.
But that was his boo.
That was what he said.
So he's moved on.
He's moved on.
All right. So let's get back to
DeSantis.
He's
very focused on his work.
Cory Booker's already dealt out of the deck.
And by the way, he doesn't need a beard. You think you need a beard in New Jersey to be a senator? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the people in New Jersey would accept him no matter what.
Yeah, but he should be real, if in fact he is.
I agree. I think anybody who is, living... Look, it's up to you what you disclose to people. But I don't think you should try to say I'm not by having somebody associated with you who is just playing a role.
I
don't think that's what's going on with
Cory Booker. Hypothetically. You know, this is only up to the third grade now.
Right.
You get through the rest of your elementary school, your junior high school, your high school. You can talk about this pretty much all you want.
Now
it's up to the third grade.
The original sponsor of the bill wanted it to never be discussed. And he also wanted teachers to tell parents if a kid came out as gay to them. He wanted to require the teachers to rat on their students.
So let me get this straight. The parent is responsible for the kid 24/7, 365.
Right.
If, let's say, the child has a medical issue in class now, a school nurse, and I remember the one that I had, Nurse Ratchet at PS-114, would do triage on.
Right.
You know, you got stabbed in the hallway. She'd apply the tourniquet.
World be free, stabbed you because you were saying, pass me the ball.
Exactly.
Right.
So back then, a school nurse actually was a multitasker. Now they're limited. If they wanted to give your child, whether you were a parent, grandparents, or guardian, a St. Joseph's baby aspirin.
I know. They got to tell. They got to get your permission. Right.
So now a kid is talking to a shrink or a psychologist.
Or a teacher.
Or a guidance counselor or whatever. And says, you know, teach, I think I might be gay or lesbian.
Or maybe they say they are.
Or I'm a transgender. Right. You're telling me the parent shouldn't know?
I think that there may be a reason why the parent doesn't know, right? Maybe the parents would not be accepted. Maybe the kid needs to come out to the parent in their own time. I don't think it's up to the state, which what schools are, to tell the parent to out the kid to the parent. That would be the most horrible thing in the world.
All right. Okay. Well, let's extrapolate this a little bit.
Yes,
and leave
please.
The sexuality.
Not everybody is so accepting as you and I. I'm sure if your kids came home to you and said, you know, Dad, I'm gay. If my kids said that to me, I'd be accepting of it. Not a problem at all. I wouldn't care.
Look, I would love them no matter what.
But not everybody is as accepting, and you and I both know that.
Because I was exposed to it. So in the 60s, what we would do in the summer is we'd go up to Plymouth Rock, where my cousin Jimmy Lonergan, whose nickname as an actor was Cochise. He did the one-man show for Carl Sandburg. He was a very accomplished act, but his dream was to own a summer stock theater. So he and his partner, Leon, now remember, they said partners at the time, but they lived together.
Right.
It was a gay relationship. It was obvious to me as a kid.
Now millennials call boyfriend and girlfriend partners. It's free. I don't know. I don't get it.
So, anyway,
your girlfriend or your boyfriend, but they say, oh, it seems too juvenile.
So they own, right, they own the theater. It's clear they're a partnership. They live together. It's like, you know, two people in love.
Right.
Then I saw some thespians, some young wannabe actors and actresses making their bones in summer stock. Clearly, they were gays or lesbians. You know,
of course, yeah.
Right. It didn't strike me as odd, but I didn't discuss it with my parents. I wasn't going up to them and asking.
Well, you weren't, but you
were an observer.
You also weren't confused about your own sexuality at the time.
I didn't even know what sexuality was.
Well, I got it, but again, why is the state involved at all?
This is third grade, second grade, first grade, kindergarten.
This is what I want to understand about conservatism. Doesn't the conservatives want the state out of your life? So why does Ron DeSantis think that it's okay for the state to be involved in this?
Well, I'll give you an example. And this might be an extreme case.
To me, it's the opposite of conservatism.
And this might be an extreme case, but this has happened. So you get a transgender or a transvestite who comes into a class invited by a teacher to read nursery stories to a class.
Right.
You don't think that the parents might object to that?
Well, what if that transgender person is a parent of one of the other kids?
Well, then
why do they get to object to somebody who just wants to do what everybody else
Chris,
does?
Chris, I don't know when you're children or when you got sex education in school, but I know for me...
Fourth grade, I got to watch that film strip.
Yeah. For me, it was junior high school. And still it was confusing.
Right. I'm still confused.
Putting the condom on the banana, that was the big one. That we can never negotiate the condom on the banana, the Chiquita banana.
40 years later, I'm still confused.
Right. Yes. So the point is, you do it later on. Nobody's saying the kids can't be exposed to this. But damn it, let them be a kid for a little bit.
Again, I don't think culture wars are what win the election for Ron DeSantis. What he wants to do is solidify his base. This is not him governing Florida. This is him running for United States presidency in Iowa a year from now. That's what this is about.
I see. And by taking on Mickey and Minnie Miles,
yeah,
saying that you're no longer going to be permitted to have carve-outs. I didn't know this about Disney World. I didn't know this about the Miracle Kingdom,
the Magic Kingdom. They are their own government inside Florida.
I had no idea. It's like the Vatican.
Yeah, they got their own police force, a jail, a judge.
I've been there.
You've been to Mickey Mouse Jail? What were you trying to organize, Guardian Angels?
No.
The Magic Kingdom? You know, we got a little problem over at Epcot Center. We're going to need some Guardian Angels over here.
We have.
You know, the people have been getting mugged on the monorail.
We have.
Let's get Curtis Sliwa in here.
We have Guardian Angels down there. In Orlando,
on
the Orange Blossom Trail, which is like all these no-tell motels, crackheads. And then over in what they call Pine Hills or Crime Hills, that's in Orange County, which surrounds it.
Right.
And in Kissimmee, which is right next to it, which is like little Puerto Rico. All the migrants came from Puerto Rico after
Kissimmee is also a place where now, like, there's trillion-dollar hotels, right?
But I never knew that Disney World was an independent and autonomous cutout.
You know, those Pirates of the Caribbean are starting to really get into their parks. We better get the Guardian Angels to start patrolling.
Explain this to
me. We want to make sure they're not messing up the people on Space Mountain, please.
So they were independent and autonomous.
Yeah, totally.
So now what does Mickey and Minnie do now that all of a sudden DeSantis said, hey, if you don't like it, pack your bags.
He's never
going to
get that done. They're the biggest employer in Florida, probably the biggest donor in Florida. And if I was him, I would be concerned because I do not believe that his reelection is guaranteed. Now, granted, it is a great year to be a Republican in America. It would be a great year no matter what was going on. The first term, you know, the first midterm election of any president always swings the way of the opposite party. So it's a great time for him to be running. But he won by like 0.1% 4 years ago. He was not you know, he has not governed as somebody who
basically won against the young African American guy who was the mayor of the swamp, right?
Tallahassee.
Gainesville.
Gainesville, yeah.
Gainesville, right? This guy came out of nowhere. Very well spoken, very good looking. His first problem with the FBI is they said, where did you get those free tickets to Hamilton? You know, the most demanded thing in the universe. How did you procure them? You know, did you get wine, dine, and pocket line? He wasn't able to answer that. And you're right. He just lost by the barest.
Skin of his teeth.
And then eventually ended up
in a hotel room. I mean, he definitely had some problems
with
after that.
Meth up his tuchus, with his
not everybody handles
male
not everybody handles defeat as well as you and I do, okay?
Well, I'm not going to tell you personally what I did when I lost to Eric Adams as mayor.
But, you know, you and I handle a lot better
I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't putting meth up my tuchus.
You know what I did when I lost?
What?
I went to the batting cage.
Oh, yeah.
I was there for a week, like just hitting baseballs.
I love the batting cage.
That's what I did.
The alternative for me was liquid Prozac, like Mike Tyson, to get rid of that anger management. You're right. Getting into that batting cage, he used to have it in Coney Island. They just opened up Luna Park yesterday. They no longer have the batting cage. I get in that batting cage, and I just keep swinging and winging.
I love it.
Crush that horse.
Banging it. I mean, it was just therapeutic. I did it for about a week. I went there for a couple hours a day for about a week.
Better than reaching into the trunk of your muscle car, pulling out those Louisville sluggers from Hillock and Bradsby, and then making Gavone's knee sing and ring because you'd kneecap him.
No, I wasn't doing any of that.
I figured that. Where were you in the center region?
I was literally at the Selden batting cage, which no longer exists.
Oh, God.
It's still there. They didn't build anything there. It's just not open anymore.
All right,
it's gone.
So back to Disney World that I had no idea was like the Vatican.
Right.
You know, independent. What do they have? The Swiss Guard there?
Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse? They have their own Disney Guard.
So what are they able to do there that they don't have to go to Tallahassee for permission from either the governor or the state legislature?
It's traffic control mostly, and it is some minor arrest issues there. They have the ability to kind of like if people are not – people being rowdy.
So what is – I don't understand what DeSantis is saying to them.
He's saying he's
going to
take that away. What does that mean? That now the people of the state of Florida are going to have to pay for traffic patrols around Disney World or the city of Orlando? Who's going to pay for that? Right now Disney pays for all of that, and they deal with all of that. And there's a lot of people that come in and out of Disney. You would need to have a substantial – I would say – tens of millions of dollars of expense, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars of
expense.
All right,
but DeSantis's profile is definitely rising
up. He's just picking fights. Look, he's not really going to do that. He's picking a fight for his national audience and a very specific national audience of religious rights.
Let's look at the profile. Because Trump was in Georgia last night, right?
Yeah, the devil went down to Georgia.
Right, okay. So he was speaking about that, and he was attacking the transgender issue.
Of course he was.
So cultural war.
Because, you know, he's a bully. He's never met a victim he didn't want to bully.
All right, so here it is, DeSantis, Italian kid, Italian-American kid, but from cow country in northern Florida. So he's not an urban guy. He's up north, nice, gorgeous wife. Unfortunately, she's battled breast cancer.
She survived. She's doing okay.
He reminds me more at times of the former Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. You know how he gets right in your
face. I think he's actually taken on this persona that is very Trump-esque, right? I think
he's not totally Trump.
He's like Trump with less drama. Right, that's who he wants people to see him as.
Now you know
I have the same positions as Trump. I'm as tough as Trump, but I won't be as dramatic as Trump. You won't have the problems you have.
Yes, yes, I would say so. And I'm younger. You know, I'm hipper.
I'm younger.
I'm not
as fat. My hair is naturally mine. I've only had one wife.
No, but it's also he's hipper. You know, in a sense,
I wouldn't
say
he's hipper.
Well, he takes on young people. He takes on young. He'll go right into the face of a young person like he did. Remember when he had the press conference?
Take
your mask off. Yeah. This is nonsense.
Well, he also yelled and screamed at reporters. You know, he does what Trump does. Kick reporters out, banned reporters.
Or so can we agree it's a combination of Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie, Donald Trump. He's somewhere in between that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
All right, so here it is. He's building his national profile on these cultural issues.
Right.
And now taking on Mickey and Minnie Mouse.
Although one thing, Christie would never touch those social issues. That was not his thing.
Right, but forget Christie, and let's go to Charlie Crist, who has perpetually run for office in Florida.
Well,
who's
been
his
governor.
Opponent.
He's been governor. He's a congressman right
I
now.
I get an email from Charlie every day.
Asking for money?
No, telling me how bad Ron DeSantis is and quoting local polls.
Yeah, and asking
we don't
for
get
money. Yeah.
The Florida polls. And he'd like to make you believe that it's neck and neck. It's neck and neck. But here's a guy, Charlie Crist, who's been all over
well,
the map.
Well, he's got to win a primary, too.
He was the Republican who then converted, became the Democrat. He uses man tan when in the South you can actually get a real tan.
We don't know that.
Tan out of the can.
Why do you say he's
because
using
Because he's like orange. He glows in the dark.
Well, doesn't Trump glow in the dark?
Well, some people think he uses
well,
man tan, too.
To, maybe, some people think.
And
some people
he's,
think.
He's like,
the guy puts makeup on before he goes out on stage, and he doesn't cover his whole neck.
He's like remember the baseball player Rusty Starr?
Yes.
L'Orange. Yeah. Remember he had the orange hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we
I
got
met
all
him.
That. Charlie Crist insists that he's going to become the governor again. Now, he's run for every office in the state of Florida. He raises a lot of money.
He does.
He seems to know everybody. He gets wine-dined in pocket line. He doesn't have anywhere near the war chest. $80 million.
Yeah, DeSantis has got, I bet you it's probably over 100 by now.
So why don't we make a little wager here? Because they're talking about bringing casino gambling into New York City, where you actually can play board games like
right.
you can in Florida.
Oh, that'd be good.
You know, you go to Hollywood, right?
Texas Hold'em,
right? You go to Tampa. Well, what is that? They got
the Hard Rock Casino.
That's right, the Hard Rock. Yeah, legal gambling, legal games. You think Charlie Crist has a shot in hell of beating DeSantis?
Odds. I need odds on that. I need odds.
I love DeSantis.
I need odds.
There's freedom down in Florida. There's no freedom here.
Yeah, well.
And by the way.
You can't get good Chinese.
We got to talk about the state that is best known for freedom. Live free or die. Second Amendment. Known for its libertarian values. New Hampshire. And the Holy Rollers. The Hellfire Preachers.
They're there.
Are on their way to New Hampshire to convert the atheists and agnostics.
I think times are too good for them. But we'll talk about it on the other side.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
All right. If you missed a second of this show, download it in podcast form on Left versus Right Show.com. And that's BS.
It's the godfather of soul, soul brother number one, James Brown.
Yeah, baby.
I got ants in my pants and I need to dance. Hot pants one and hot pants two. By the way, a lifelong Republican. Going way back when Kennedy was running against Nixon, you know who stood with Richard Nixon. I know because I saw it in Ebony Magazine and Jet Magazine. It was James Brown, lifelong Republican.
I'm sure if he was alive today, he wouldn't be one. But look, Republicans have lost that.
Do you know who came out and warmed up the crowd before James Brown would come out with Maceo and the Max? Oh, that was his backup. Al Slim Shady Sharpton. He was the little boy preacher from Brownsville. Grew up on Stone Avenue.
There you go.
He was like, he was mesmerized by James Brown.
Did you know him growing up?
No, he was on the other side. He lived by World Be Free in Brownsville. Never ran, never will.
Never saw him.
Not far from Mike Tyson. By the way, if you notice, the hairdo of James Brown is the hairdo that Al Sharpton originally had.
Yeah.
He tried to emulate. Except he was a little bit on the chubby
not
side.
Not anymore. He looks pretty good.
No, man, now he looks like a bobblehead doll that you'd get
he's
if you went to
right
Yankee
now.
Stadium or the old Shea Stadium with David
he's
Wright.
He's very, very thin. He's been doing something right. All right, so what's going on in New Hampshire, Curtis? You just got you burnt up right now.
Okay, so full all-out Gallup poll. First time in American history that most Americans no longer identify themselves as being affiliated with a mosque, a synagogue, or a church.
That's right.
Whether it is a storefront church or it is a mega church.
You and I'm not affiliated with the church. Are you affiliated with the church?
Right. No. And they're saying that in New Hampshire, the majority of the people now identify as either agnostics, which they believe a little bit that there could be God.
Right.
That's me.
Prove it.
Or atheists, where they don't believe in God at all.
Right.
You know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and it's over.
I believe in God.
Okay.
But I'm not a churchgoer.
All right, so you're more of an agnostic.
Yeah, like I just don't think that we've got it figured out.
Although your origin
is very evangelical.
Holy roller.
Holy freaking roller.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what happened is the evangelicals and the charismatics who have a strong base in the South all along the Mississippi River. So you look at Tennessee, the Tennessee Stump Jumpers, Missouri, Arkansas.
Yep, yep.
They have organized all the hellfire preachers. And they are on a caravan, you know, like you had the truck like caravan.
They're basically taking over for the truckers. Your caravan?
They're on their way to New Hampshire because they don't believe they have enough hellfire preachers. I just want to give you a little sample of what the folks in New Hampshire, which is like the most libertarian state.
Yes.
Live free or die. Don't take my gun. You know, take my house, take my car, take my dog, but don't take my guns.
Don't take any of my stuff is really what they say there.
But no longer a place where religion dominates normal life. Guess what's coming to Manchester? And it isn't candidates getting ready for the primary on either the Democratic or the Republican side to become the next president of the United States. It's hellfire preachers.
Are you prepared? I know you prepared your house. I know you prepared your income. I know you prepared your marriage, your children. You planned out your whole life. But you've made no plans whatsoever for where you're headed when you leave this world. Hell is a place. It is a place that existed before you were ever born. It is there. It's going to be there. And there's nothing you can do to change that one bit whatsoever.
There is a hell. It's the South in the summer. That's why these guys are so fired up, because they feel that heat.
You know,
it's not as bad in the summer in New Hampshire. It's actually quite nice.
And it's like a swamp, New Orleans, because it's really underwater.
Yeah.
They wear seersucker suits at the height of the humidity.
It's horrible.
In the deep South. A seersucker suit, which is like, you don't even see that. In D.C., which is really more southern.
I know.
People will wear seersucker suits.
I once took a cab from the Hart Senate office building to Union Station, and you could see Union Station from the Hart Senate office.
And by the way, you feel like you're in a swamp. Never mind what Trump said.
Swimming.
Yeah, exactly. But hellfire preachers, you grew up in which you were exposed to that. What impact did that have on the people of New Hampshire?
I think they're going to ignore it, and these guys are going to just get some good maple syrup and go back to the South. We're going to have to talk more about this next week. It goes too fast, Curtis.
Wait a second. God, guns, and what's the other G?
Politics. Government. Nobody's ever going to invite us to dinner.
That's right. I want revenge.
Curtis Lee with Chris Hahn. We'll see you next week.
That's where I live. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.